Father, we turn to your word this morning and we thank you for its authority revealing heaven and its authority speaking heaven into our lives. So we just receive right now a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, for revealing and unveiling life and truth to our hearts at our point of need. We thank you for this. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 16. And we have, for those that were here, we have been here recently. We're coming back here. And I'm going to really be challenged to find my lane this morning because I can literally pick four or more highways to go on. And it's going to be a real challenge. But I just really feel that there's some more things the Lord wants us to really dig up here from Matthew 16. So I'm going to start by reading verse 13, and then we'll just take her from there. So verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say that you are Peter," Greek word there, "you are a Petros, a stone, and upon this rock," Greek word Petra, "I will build my church." So just for context, Peter is a rock, not the bedrock. The bedrock that Jesus said he will build his church on was not Peter. It was actually himself. "I am this Petra. I am this bedrock. I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, if we go back, the question, verse 15, "Who do you say that I am?" The answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was very important because of what Jesus was setting up that was heading, that was pointing ahead to the finished work of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. Okay, he says, verse 18, "I say to you, you are a stone," Peter, Petros, "but upon this rock." But now, what is the rock? We know Jesus is the emphasis here, but what is the rock that he said, "I will build my church upon"? What was the question? Okay, the question was, "Who are you?" But then with the answer, what was the answer? That you are the Son of God, but it doesn't stop at just the simple fact, an important fact, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Very important, but he didn't say, "I am Jesus," or "You are Jesus." He said, "You are the Christ." Now there's a difference. Not Jesus' name was called the Christ. Okay? Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Now, what I want to do for the sake of what I want to pull out here in the scripture, I want to jump quickly to two scriptures. So go over to Ephesians. Michelle will put it on the screen. Ephesians chapter 3, and notice here in verse 8, Ephesians 3 and verse 8. So I want to pull two scriptures in quickly, and then we'll jump back to what Jesus was prophesying and talking ahead about. So now we are after Jesus' earthly ministry. Now Jesus is talking about what has been, or the word of God is talking about what is accomplished. So look at verse 8. "To me," Paul speaking, "the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of" what? Christ. Okay, Jesus said, who am I? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. My Father revealed this to you. I, this Christ, will build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against what I built. Okay? So now in here, Paul said, I have been given this calling to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. I have been given this assignment to preach and teach on how rich this Christ is. And I'm not talking monetary rich. Sure, heaven's full of resource. But I'm talking about how rich he is in who he is. And now verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which has been hidden in God who created all things. Okay. Pause. And Michelle, I want you to pop up for me Colossians chapter 1. We're coming back to Ephesians, then we're going back to Matthew. But I'm tying some of these scriptures together, so it'll be on the screen here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. So notice Colossians 1, verse 25. The same author, Paul, and he says, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden. Okay? So Paul said in both Ephesians and in Colossians that he's been given this assignment to preach what he calls this mystery. And if you get into the Greek language here, the word mystery is mysterion, and it is a locking up. So something was locked up, but now he's saying, but I've been given this assignment to preach and in essence unlock it, to bring it out from a place that was locked up or hidden. Okay, so notice what happens here. I've been called to preach, he said, verse 25, that is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages, generations, but has now been made manifest to his saints. Now look at verse 27. Look at what it says. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, where? In you. Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew 16? Who am I? You are the Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against what I do. Now, Paul introduces that he has been called to preach this thing called the mystery. Greek language, he's called to preach this revelation that has been locked up. Well, the revelation that was locked up was not only the person of Jesus and what Jesus himself was going to accomplish through the ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension, but also that there's another layer to this, that actually Christ in you, Christ in me, was the plan that was hidden and locked up before the cross. So all of the Old Testament era, you have this hidden, locked up truth. Christ will be in people. So the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So who's the you here? Every child of God. I don't care what denomination you name. I don't care what church you go to, even people that don't formally gather, the truth is Christ has come to take resident in the lives of people. Now, go back, Michelle, to Ephesians. So now that we've got a glimpse, what is the mystery? So look it back here in Ephesians chapter 3, and let me read verse 8 and 9 again. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of who? Christ. Where is Christ? Right here. So if Paul's going to teach how rich Christ is, where is he actually talking about the manifestation of Christ, the appearance of Christ? In me. the child of God. So he's saying, I want to preach and teach and show you how rich this Christ is. And again, we're not talking monetarily, not that money isn't part of God's plan, but this isn't a money thing, although that's in the picture. It's Christ is so rich, he's so full that our minds cannot even imagine how much we have been given when we get a revelation of Christ in us. But the incredible thing, and this is why it was called a mystery, something locked up, is that before the finished work of Jesus and the ascension, when Jesus walked the earth, how many Christs were there? One body, one man, his name was Jesus, who was called the Christ, set apart with the kingdom of God. But what was he about to unlock through the death, burial, resurrection, ascension? What was he about to unlock? This mystery, Christ in who? Every child of God. Well, I mean, if we just stop right there, isn't this the devil's worst nightmare? That all of a sudden, all over our land, Christ has taken residence in the hearts of people. Christ is now ready to reveal himself through people. Christ is ready to manifest himself through people. That's the devil's worst nightmare. If people actually get a revelation of Christ in them, you're going to be walking around and saying, well, hey, where I go, Christ goes. That means where I go, Christ wants to work through my life. Christ wants to manifest through my life. Christ wants to go and become the same that he was when he walked the earth. He wants to begin to manifest this through our lives in our everyday world. So Paul said, I have been called to preach and teach about this Christ in you reality. Look at the next verse, verse 9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. Okay, mystery, a locking up. What is the mystery? Say it, Wayne. Christ in you. The mystery that was locked up was that a day would come, which is our day, that Christ would be in people. So Paul is saying, I have been given this assignment to bring to light, and notice this word in the New American Standard, the administration. Now, this is a very important word. Because this word in the Greek language, administration, one of the definitions as part of the word means to parcel out or to distribute. Now, why is this important? Because if I'm going to preach and teach and work with anybody, and so I walk up to Lee, is Christ in Lee? Okay. I walk up to Daryl, is Christ in Daryl? But now here's where it gets difficult. Paul said, I'm here to preach and teach the administration, the distribution, the parceling out of this mystery. In other words, Christ in Lee and Christ in Daryl are not going to look the same, are not going to function the same, are not going to have the same expressions of him. So if Lee, in any form, tries to become whatever she sees in Daryl, what's going to happen to Christ in Lee? He's going to die. If Daryl, in any form, tries to become what he sees in Lee, what is going to happen to Christ in Daryl? He's going to die. So where is the only place that we can get a revelation of who Christ is in our individual life? From Christ in me, corporately us. I can't find and understand how Christ wants to manifest himself through my life by looking at another human being. That alone will radically free young people if they got this revelation. I was in conversation with a dad this week, not part of our family, and a beautiful story he told me. That he was in dialogue with his 10-year-old daughter, and the daughter just outright expressed, Dad, I'm not like you and Mom. And she was trying to be. And he said to her, he said, you don't need to be like me and Mom.
You need to be who God is in you because he wants to release that. He wants you to understand that and grow into that. And this is the point of my story. Here's what she said. Dad, I didn't know that. Now, typically, how many children do know that? Virtually none. But what's the implication of a child finding out? You want to find out the fullness of God's path for you? Don't look at mom and don't look at dad. Now, that will mess up some parenting because some parents say, we're the happy conformists and we've got it all figured out what you're supposed to be like. My goodness, if I had my kids figured out based on me, they'd be in crisis today because they are so vastly different than anything that I would have even thought. I mean, my dream when Jessica came out was my sports baby is on the scene. And then when I started to try to play catch and she was so uncoordinated and I tried and then we put her in baseball and every time someone's up to bat, she's down plucking the flowers, not even looking at the batter, and I'm yelling, Jessica, they're hitting the ball, and she stand up, and then within seconds she's down picking the flowers, and this kept going on, and I had an epiphany. My daughter will never want to be enthusiastic about sports. And that has to be okay. We had a family gathering about a week ago at my house, and her boyfriend were over, and he and I love sports, and we're happy about the Toronto Maple Leafs and what's going on right now in the rebuild. So we had a little happy chat. But as soon as we went into happy chat, she left the room. Went into the kitchen. Why are you here? They're talking about sports. That has to be okay because Christ in my daughter will never look like Christ in me. Now, characteristically, there's certain things about who Jesus was. Of course, he wants to develop characteristically, you know, integrity, love, honor, respect, serving, like these characteristics. I'm not even talking about that. That goes without saying that these are things that heaven wants to work into every one of his kids. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the unique expression of Christ. So Paul said, I've been given this assignment to bring to light the administration. But the administration is the way Christ has been parceled out. So if the church that God intended will ever arise to its fullness, guess where we have to center our attention? Christ in people. That means there can't be a predefined form. There can't be a model that's already established and then now we expect you to fulfill it or fit it. This is the way the church has tried to operate for years. And as I've already illustrated, what happens when somebody tries to be something that is not Christ in them? What happens to the true Christ in them? They will die. So this is a celebration to say, you know what? Before, you know, if someone comes new and says, Steve, I want to become part of your body and I want to give my gifts and serve. Beautiful, beautiful. But guess what? We need to find Christ in you to really identify how you express yourself. We need to see the evidence of Christ in you so that when you minister in whatever capacity, it is Christ in you that is ministering. And it's evident to you, it's evident to us, and the blessing of God is there. The form has to be broken when we start that journey. Kathy? Not a literal death. I mean every intent. So the question that Kathy asked, what do you mean by Christ in you dying? Not a literal death. A death to the things he put because you're trying to be something he didn't put. Okay, so if I'm trying to be something that I'm not, the real Christ in me that's wanting to be revealed through the gifts of God in my life are not going to come forth in their fullness. Quite opposite, they can even be put to death. And here's a radical example. Way back before April and I came east, we had somebody in our life who was a strong voice, loud voice, and they had a strong agenda on where we should be going. And I was so vulnerable in this season of my life because of my wounds from the church that this individual actually got me to the place that I said out of my mouth, I don't believe that I have the gift to teach. I was so deeply in the pit I actually had literally put to death the core gift that was in my life was gone. So Christ in me, the teacher, was dead, not literal. Today, he's been revived. But what I didn't understand was I was working so hard by voices and voices and voices to be something that pressured me to be, but it wasn't Christ in me. And so Christ in me died. Instead, Christ now has been revived. And here's the burden, because the fact is, all of us to a varying degree has had this. Some very severe, some mildly. We've all been pushed down a path to be something we're not. That's not the church that God intended. And let me show this to you. So go back to Matthew here, because I want us to unveil a couple things here before we actually end. Matthew 17. Because remember, I took you on that trail so that when we come back to Jesus' question, now we have a little bit more understanding to what he was asking Peter. Who do you say that I am? Jesus, you're the Christ. Blessed are you. Why? Because my Father showed this to you. And here's what Jesus said. I will build my church. Hades will not prevail. But the church is built on what he called this rock. The rock was the revelation that he is the Christ. Well, after the cross, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, what did Paul say he was called to preach and teach? The mystery that was locked up. So Jesus right here was actually prophesying into what's going to change after his work was finished. So Paul comes in the picture, and now God gave him the revelation and the assignment. You're going to now preach this Christ, but you're not just going to talk about him. You're actually going to administer. You're going to go after Christ in people. You're going to go after what they have, because what did Jesus prophesy? When Christ is revealed, the gates of hell will not prevail. But the gates of hell do royal butt kicking when we're all trying to be something we've been pressured to be that isn't Christ in us. So when I gave up the teacher in me, not knowing I was giving up the gift of God, I was just so beaten up by voices and all that. How much of the blessing of God was manifesting in my life? None, because I had been chased away from being what I was, and unfortunately, it was well-meaning believers that did it, but that wasn't Jesus doing that. Even though they did it, maybe even thought in the name of Jesus, it wasn't Jesus, because Jesus reveals himself, Christ in us. He's been parceled out so uniquely and differently. You can't find Christ in you by looking at another human being. But we've tried to build a church off of conformity, and it won't ever produce the fullness of God. And I'll be real, from a leadership point of view, if I don't have this settled in my life, one of the greatest threats to leadership is Christ in you is going to look better than me. And he's supposed to, because Christ in you is different, not in person, not in Godhead, but I mean in manifestation of function, of uniqueness. Christ in you is better than Christ in me, because you have something that I'll never have, but I'll have something you'll never have. See, I don't need to be threatened by Christ in someone else. You don't need to be threatened by Christ. The point is, because this is where the fullness is in God's intention for the church, is that what happens if a whole bunch of people begin to rise and grow as Christ is in them, and they take their place and they express it? We're not threatened. Not only are we not threatened, we're so excited when we see the fullness of Christ manifested. And there's never competition in that picture from heaven's point of view. Now, in the earth's point of view, there's been far too much competition, because we haven't understood Christ that Paul was teaching about. Some of you here today have been hurt because you've been on a road where the church, the thing we call the church, has tried to make you be something you're not called to be. That'll kill Christ's plan in anybody. And for those that know my story, it killed Christ in me, because the fight for so many years was, when do I have the sense of permission to rise up and just say, I'm going to be true to Christ in me and not care, and I don't mean this callously, I mean this victoriously, and not care anymore if I don't conform to what someone says I should be. I remember years ago, I was not living in this place of victory. And my phone rang from somebody in their heart. They meant well and they truly cared. I totally believe it. But they were totally misdirected at the same time. I looked at my watch when I answered the phone. I looked at my watch when this ended. No exaggeration, for 1 hour, I was berated by an individual who just kept letting me know everything that I should be doing. I get paid, therefore you should be this, you should be this, you should be this. For 1 hour, I never got a word in as I got berated for everything I should be. And then even if I got paid what you got paid, I would be. And like all of that, heart was right, but 100% misdirected. At the end of that hour, I looked at my watch when they said these words. Wow, I feel so much better. I've needed to say that for a long time. Well, guess what? While you're feeling better, I don't feel better. In fact, I feel like a piece of snot that's flowing out of the nose right now because I've been beaten up so hard. And I'm just being real, okay? I'm not saying that maliciously, I'm saying that truthfully, because that type of experience, that was extreme. Unfortunately, it wasn't the only one of its kind. But that extreme assault, what did it do? Did it move me towards Christ in me or away? And so I tried another round of being what I was told I, best line, should be. But is it Christ in me? And if it's not, I will fail at every turn. That was a hard, long, 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 long road to come to the point to say, my greatest freedom is to walk in the steps of Christ in me. Now I need to answer some questions. What does that look like? Who is he in my life different than anyone else's? Valid questions. But if it doesn't start with permission granted, you have permission to go on the journey of discovering Christ in you. If it doesn't start with permission, you'll never discover the fullness of Christ and ultimately therefore give him away. So I will say something at this point, not just in respect to leadership from our body, but I believe I'm going to say this from heaven's perspective. Heaven says, we agree with this, but heaven says, you have permission to go on the journey of discovering Christ in you. And it won't look anything like the one sitting beside you. And that's okay. What we've done has been out of a man's attempt to build a church that Jesus himself said he will build, not man will build. That means I can't build it, you can't build it. What I can do is I can find out where he is. I can find out how he's given himself to people, because that's the building plan. The building plan isn't some strategic thing we get in a boardroom and figure it all out. Come on, we got the plan. Now everybody get on board. No, the plan's actually going to change drastically when we start finding out Christ in people and we start giving that opportunity for those giftings to manifest and express in their uniqueness. So I am announcing to you, regardless of what your journey has been, you have permission and you have heaven's blessing to go down the road, who is Christ in me? And for some, that might mean shaking off expectations. You've been trying to be something you're not meant to be. For some, that's going to be a roadway of healing first. For some, it's a doorway of opportunity. Well, then who are you, Lord? Because I want to rise. I want to see you arise. Regardless of who you are in that picture, permission has to be given to ourselves. And I'm telling you that heaven has already given this permission. Now, years ago, many of you have heard me say this, when I was ministering to somebody, very deep, broken place, up until this point in time in my journey of working with people, we fixated our attention on what was wrong with people because we want to fix the things that are wrong. And this was our journey, this was my teaching, this was what even, I hate to say it, we proudly would even say, well, that's what we do. We help people find the things that are wrong and fix them. We even prided ourselves on that, and that's not a good confession. That's not, because that wasn't right. And here I was one day working in a situation with somebody, and the Lord interrupted me, and he spoke the word into my heart that completely shifted everything that we do. I had to rewrite some of my material. I had to change the way I approach people. I certainly changed the way I teach. And here's what he said. Steve, stop going after what is wrong with people and go after what is right. And the wrong things will be revealed in the process. You say, well, that's too simple. But let's think about this for a minute, because this is actually very radical. So listen to the word again. Stop going after what is wrong in people. Start going after what is right. And the things that are wrong will be brought to the surface. They will be exposed. But why is this target so radical? If I hold up to you a target and say, for the next 10 years, here's the target. We're going to go after everything we can find that's wrong in your life. See ya. At what point in your perspective do you ever arrive at a place that God could actually start working through you? When the target is everything that's wrong. When do you ever get there? Okay? So let's change the target. Who's Christ in right now? Who has he placed unique functions of himself in right now? Who has he parceled and distributed out things that no one else can do quite the way you do? Who is that? Okay, so I put Christ in you out front, and I say, there are things in you that nobody else can fulfill, nobody else can do, nobody else can be like. This is our target. Now, what are we going after? Christ in you, the right things. Now, is any hindrance to living it fully going to be exposed? Totally, because if for whatever reason, Christ in me has revealed these plans and I can't get there, guess what? They're going to come to the surface, and pretty quick, you're going to find out, gosh, soon as I got up there to use my gift in this way, I never knew there was so much stuff in my life that needed help. Well, that's the inevitable reality, because the enemy has influenced us all. But what God wants is for us, Paul preached Christ. Christ in you. Christ, the hope of glory. He preached, it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives. That's a very positive statement. Now, there's probably a lot of stuff in my life that doesn't align to that. But I'm going to preach Christ. Now, Lord, what is holding back Christ from fulfilling his full ministry? And he's going to show it. He's going to reveal it. He's going to help us see it. He wants us to see it, of course. But what's the target? Another thing that's wrong about me that I got to get fixed so finally Christ in me can manifest? Or is the target Christ? Christ in me. Christ in me. Jesus said, I will build my church. Christ will build his church. Christ in every one of us. So if we say, you know what? I need another 6 months, 3 years, 5 years to figure out all the rest of the things that are wrong. What have we just done to Christ? We've pushed him aside, or maybe even killed the very essence of who he's wanting to be. legitimately, when we're tripping up, seriously, we might need to have pause moments. Park, help. But we're not talking a lifelong road. We're talking, okay, Lord, this is really tripping me up and I need some help so that I can get back into this mission of Christ in me. You see, if we really get true about this text, when he said, verse 18, is verse 18 up there? Put up verse 18, Michelle, in Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said in this scripture, when he said this, I say to you, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, Greek word, ekklesia. In history, rulership, kings and rulers were afraid of the church that Jesus was actually talking about influencing society that they were leading. So leaders influenced theologians to translate ekklesia, the Greek word for church, to translate it into the word church. Because the word church means a place to come for worship. Jesus did not say, I will build my place where everybody comes to worship. That was written into our translations. What he said was, ekklesia was actually a people who were on a mission representing a nation that they were representing to go in. They were actually called apostles or led by what were called apostles. That was a political thing, not even a theological thing that we fight over today. And the ekklesia would take the ways of the kingdom that they represented, bring it into a conquered land, and they would reproduce that into a new land. So what Jesus was saying is, I will build my ekklesia. Now, gathering is important. You know, I reminded Daryl and Patty a couple weeks ago when they went out on assignment and they were giving their ministry gifts to another body. For those that were here, we started the front end of the service praying over Daryl and Patty because they were on a mission giving the gifts of God. That's beautiful. What were we doing today with Betty and the Pring family? And what did we do with Matthew and Rachel and over Nathan? We're saying, look at, you're all on assignment, some like kind, some different kind. The true church, the ecclesia that Jesus talked about, was not defined by gathering for worship. Now, will it become part of that in our need to engage heaven and to love one another? Absolutely. But we've actually got a church that is not the church Jesus prophesied about. So when he said the ecclesia, I will build my church, my ecclesia, what he was actually saying is, I'm going to invade. No wonder the kings were threatened. I'm going to invade. I'm going to invade government. I'm going to invade in our world today education systems. I'm going to invade the medical system. I'm going to invade. One of our friends outside of our province was for a season the chief surgeon in her hospital. And she told us this beautiful story that she made a decision that I am going to pray over every patient before I put them under. She's a breast cancer specialist. And she said, I'm going to pray for every patient before I put them under. She says, I've got people all over my province coming, requesting me because they know that I'm going to pray for them before I put them under for their healing and for the presence of God. Her superior said, you can't do it. You must stop. She said, you don't have enough doctors as it is. I'm the chief surgeon with the authority, and they're coming from all over the province. So she ignored their voice and kept on praying before she puts them under. That's an invasion of the kingdom of God. And we could say, well, you didn't come to church on Sunday, therefore you're not walking with God. Hey, we do need to gather. Please don't think I'm saying that's wrong. But we've got to change our mindset. What did Jesus really say? We're going to invade. The kingdom will invade. and change systems, policies, bring kingdom into places that God can't get to on Sunday mornings. I am not knocking down our coming together, but what I'm exposing is it possible that we're trying or have tried to serve a form that is not the form that God ever intended, and then we're trying to find ourselves by fitting a form. But what if that form can never be defined by pre-existing forms? What if it's unique? As one government official told me after teaching in private ministry, "Steve, before I learned what you're teaching, I thought my government job, high ranking in the nation, I thought it was a job and then I go to church on Sunday." He says, "Now I understand. I bring the kingdom of God every day, and I started praying every day now as I start my day, God, how do you want to release your kingdom through my life right here in this place called government?" He found out Christ was in him, and he appointed him there. That's what Jesus said, "I will build my church, my ecclesia." How will I build it? Through Christ. Where is he? Come to me and I'll have y'all figured out. I'll make you look like me. Is that the answer? That's complete opposites what Jesus prophesied. Paul came to preach and teach Christ. Unveil the parcel that you've been uniquely given, and then championed to be that person. Hey, that's a church unleashed. That's a traditional leader's worst nightmare, because you can't control one bit of it. But guess what? That can threaten leadership. Guess who is in control in that picture? Christ. 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 And the gates of hell can't prevail against him. They can prevail lots against us, but not Christ. This is, to me, so liberating and so exciting to think of what God is wanting to unleash. Now, I'll end with this. I share with you the word that God gave me. Stop going after what is wrong. Start going after what is right. And what is wrong will come to the surface. It will be exposed. I am telling you this as a commitment, but I'm telling you this as a lifestyle. We don't ever want to become a people that are known for always going after, while the church should be, while the church isn't, and attacking it. Take the word. Stop going after what is wrong. If somebody wants to passionately attack what's wrong, then my word to them would be, stop. Do it right. And invite others to walk with you. If you're really passionate about the church, do it right. If you believe you got it figured out, do it right. But don't attack. Don't go after what's wrong and make that the platform. And this is one thing that I'm very strong on personally, and this word really shifted me years ago. We are not going to use our platform to go after what is wrong. We want to use it to go after what is right. Christ in you, me, us. There's where the fullness is. And when mistakes are made, they'll be exposed. We make adjustments. Let's get back on the path. And let's bring Christ back out front. Let's go after what is right. He wants to build a church. And we are the ones, like it or not, we're the ones. He's going to build it through. So if I take the posture to just keep attacking, 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 what have I done to Christ in me? There's no freedom to express himself. We shut him down. So if you've been hurt by a leader, by a church, I urge you, invite the Lord to heal, but turn your attention on Christ in you. Father, I pray that you will help us to arise individually and corporately
into more fuller expression of Christ revealed. That at the end of the day, we're going to say, look at Christ. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's doing. Look at Christ manifesting through so-and-so and people, and that Jesus, you will receive all the glory because it is all flowing from you, not even from us. We're the containers, the vessels that you're calling. Christ, we put out front. For it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives. Christ lives. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in us. And he is the hope of the glory of the Father that the Father wants to unveil more and more and more and more and more of. So we exalt you, Christ, the living one. And I pray that there would be an unlocking over individuals who are hearing this word, that you would unlock, Father, a new unleashing and unhindering of Christ revealed. That where there has been roadblocks and hindrances, they will be put to the side, and Christ will begin to arise in new ways from the gifts and the callings of the people, Father, that you've already placed within them. We thank you, Lord, for this. And I release the Father's blessing upon Christ in everyone here. In Jesus' name.